Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, good to see you.
How are you this morning, Dr. Paul?
Good. Still counting votes in my sleep. No, that's you right. Count sheep in the when you're going to something like that. I bet there are some people counting who knows what.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, it's such a shame that so much disinformation is so believable,
yeah.
You know, and people just go by, and, you know, they might have something come up and all of a sudden it disappears from the media and nobody seems to care too much about it. But hopefully we can find the things that we don't want them to forget about. And yet we don't know everything there is to be known about the so-called fraud.
Yeah.
It would be hard for me to believe that all of a sudden we were blessed with knowing everything went on in the election, if there was and how much fraud there was, if we could all of a sudden know that. But, you know, people probably, they're over. And I think yesterday I kept mentioning, are the Republicans tired of this? And there was more indication that people could just get turned off with it. And yet there's another core of people that's saying that, no, you can't forget about it. This is serious business. Our votes should count.
Yeah.
But for now, it's going to last. Something would have to break through, you know, on this for people to get excited or somebody be forced to report on it. You know, I think you have a thing that you're going to put up, but I want to just mention it, and then I can see that in a minute. And that was the bold headlines from a website that used to produce fairly libertarian information, and that's the Drudge Report. So it's amazing how quickly you can look at something and automatically put it in perspective. You know, there was a time when you read something on Drudge and say, well, that's serious. We got to look into it. Now, Now I'll look at Drudge to find out what the opposition is thinking. But this is pretty amazing. The announcement, the fear mongering.
He's
a fear monger, and he has a large audience, which is shrinking. Record hospitalization, virus out of control, casual life fuel surge, still no peak. Can anything stop it? How could anything be more frightening than that? No wonder a young person, a teenager that's old enough to understand the degree of this and not ignore it, all of a sudden and get a little anxious about it. And that's where we are, trying to sort out the propaganda from the truth that we're looking for.
That's why we're seeing a lot of suicidal ideation among young people and actual suicides. But a dark winter is coming. Biden, who calls himself president-elect, has promised that. And it looks like he's following through with that creation of a dark winter. He said, yes, I will do a mask mandate. I will do a lockdown. No problem. And now we see that one of his top science advisors, quote unquote, let's take that first clip. He's calling for a 4 to 6 week nationwide lockdown to avoid COVID hell. Dr. Michael Osterholm, member of Biden's COVID task force, nationwide lockdown. He claims it will drive down cases and hospitalizations until a vaccine arrives. Another key point. He also said the government will pay for it, no problem. We will create the money. It will be a massive bailout for local and state governments. They're going to bear the burden of this, supposedly, which is interesting because if you think about what Cuomo has done to New York and what Whitmer's done to Michigan, that's going to take their chestnuts out of the fire. But here's what he said. To be effective, the lockdown has to be as comprehensive and strict as ever, as possible. And we saw this on Zero Hedge, and they also put in a study from J.P. Morgan showing that there really is no difference in outcomes between countries that had heavy lockdown, UK, Germany, Italy, and France, Italy being the most locked down probably in the world, and those that did not have lockdowns. There's no difference in outcome, Brazil, Sweden, Japan, Korea. So it's proven that these lockdowns don't work against COVID, but they do work against people and cause untold suffering. Yet this is the direction that the Bidens are going.
They refuse to admit that the endemic, is not very serious, and most of it's passed, but they have to keep the scenario going and make it, you know, continue to frighten people. And when they bring up the subject of the first lockdown, didn't that solve the problem? Oh, no, maybe a little bit it did, but it wasn't stringent enough. It wasn't on long enough. And that's why the Biden advisors now, it has to be mandatory for the whole nation at one time. And you have to give J.P. Morgan, they're in the business of money, but they were pointing out, do they ever think about the cost of this? I mean, we talked about, a lot of people talked about the cost and the downturn of the economy, which is not being attended to because everybody gets fed, you know, a check, and there's still a lot of people on welfare, but there's a limit to that, and the real correction in the economy is yet to come. But it doesn't mellow them in the desire. Lockdown is what is necessary, but just for a while. You know, Fauci says we don't have to do it forever, just until we get the vaccine. Of course, we've talked about the vaccine. There's no proof that the vaccine is going to work. No proof that the tests have ever been reliable. And yesterday I talked about the reports are saying it's a very, very fragile. It's so fragile because they can't even, it's not well organized anyway. Yeah. So it's something that they're doing, but they're going to persist. They're not going to back off unless people finally rise up. And, and we see that. We've seen it in Europe. We've shown great pictures in Europe that the Europeans are outclassing the Americans in the defense of liberty. It looks like we've backed off. And I don't worry about exactly who leads the charge for promotional liberty. It's all encouraging, but it's disappointing that we don't have more Americans standing up, I guess, the authoritarian approach, and listening to these guys. And here, not that we endorse the idea that we have a newly illegitimate president, but anyway, it's in a position to us going in a radically different position. And yet, right now, it looks like it's not going to be very easy to prove the fraud that went on, but the whole issue really boils down to individuals getting sick and tired of it. And that's why the other night, I guess it was the football victory with Clemson and Notre Dame, they just did you see the picture?
I missed it. No.
it was huge. I don't mind. And it was great that there were that many people at the football game. Mm-hmm. And when they went onto the field, but I think they have found three people that got sick over that. You know, some had a pet stomach. I wonder if they had been drinking.
They'll all be in jail if they do that again. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, remember, it was 15 days to flatten the curve. That was the justification for everything. 6 to 8 months ago, 6 to 8 months later, we are still under COVID restrictions. And the fact is they lie, and that's what they do. And they lie about this. They lie about the 4 to 6 weeks until the vaccine comes. How do we know that? Because Redfield from the CDC, Fauci, and Rachel Levine from Pennsylvania, the health czar, they already said vaccine or no vaccine, social distancing, masks will be continue to be worn. But here's something that they never want to show. And that is, they love to talk about the science, Dr. Paul, but they don't like science itself. And let's look at that additional one, if we can, that second clip that I threw in afterwards. This is from the Zero Hedge. Now look at this. Here's what they're panicking about. Here's why you have to lose your job and stay at home for 6 weeks. That blue line is cases. Case just simply means a positive PCR test. Remember, Fauci himself says, if they use more than 36 times for the test, it's a false positive. And look at the green line, hospitalization rate going down. Look at the red line, deaths not doing too much. This is the basis upon which they're going to shut the country down. Well, how did lockdowns and masks work? Let's look at a couple of slides really quick, Dr. Paul. Let's look at Illinois and Florida. Let's look at that. Put that next one up if you can dig that one out. Illinois and Florida. Look, here's where Florida lifted most of its restrictions, September 25th. Illinois, of course, kept its restrictions. Who's doing better now? They won't talk about that. This is in daily new cases per million on 11/11, just yesterday. Let's look at the next one. Wisconsin, Illinois, and Minnesota. Look at the mask mandate. Illinois mask mandate. Minnesota mask mandate. Wisconsin mask mandate. Look what happened after the mask mandate. How can they explain this? They don't want to. They don't want you to look at these. They don't want you to see these maps. Let's look at the third one, please. And here's COVID deaths per million, COVID-19 deaths per million. The EU versus Sweden. And how can they justify? The EU, of course, has cracked down. They're cracking down yet again. It's having no effect. Whereas Sweden kept open. And look, they just don't want to talk about this, Dr. Paul.
You know, they have to be in denial.
Yeah.
Unless they just refuse to look at it, refuse to contemplate it, refuse to have an answer to it. But they're in denial for one reason or another. It may be just flat-out motivation to promote their cause, which is not our cause. It's the cause of the authoritarians, the people who make vaccines and that sort of thing. But they are delusional, and they're in denial, and it's going to continue. And looks like it's not going to change because we don't have enough people now standing up and saying enough is enough and praising you. Those charts are fantastic, you know, that you just put up. The one in Florida, you know.
Yeah.
And yet they all of a sudden it's silent. That was another article today we read that they just disappear. If there's anything favorable, they don't try to even answer it. Cause too much attention. It just disappears.
Yeah.
And can you imagine if there had been 10 or 15 sick people, which wouldn't have been too strange in a crowd like that, and when they're doing all sorts of things, they could have gotten sick, and who knows what. They might have had symptoms that was confusing or could be made to look confusing to COVID. But no, you don't hear about it. That means it's gone. But then they still come back, and they're able to produce these headlines and all this article. Why it has, we have to do more.
Yeah.
It isn't like backing off and wait. The only thing that, you know, when you first read read the report from the CDC and Fauci, he said, it looks like it's ending. It looks like it's doing better. And, we've gotten past the one, and this won't be too bad as long as you do what we tell you.
Yeah.
You know, you don't ever give up your masks, and it'll all disappear when the vaccine comes. Now they don't even know how to distribute the vaccine.
Yeah.
And when they're talking about it, the one report, which you know, is sort of irrelevant in a scheme of things, but they said, the vaccine is coming, but the distribution should be overseas first.
Yeah.
You know, there are other countries that need it more than we do. So, but we just need to pay for it. And of course, that might be a blessing in disguise. There might be less sick people here getting it. You know, I keep thinking that what if they end up, people who really need it, the people who are in nursing home. But if there are complications from a vaccine, the people with diminished immunity, if you give it to them, they're more likely, that would be my guess, they're more likely to have a reaction to the vaccine if they start doing that. We're so smart, we know who needs this vaccine. But since they don't know the real nature of this and whether it's going to, but you know, there's 127 companies working on this, and they're bound to find one that works a long time after everybody's forgotten about the endemic.
Well, numbers are important. You know, you've got a vaccine with a 90% effectiveness rate to treat a cold with a 99% recovery rate, right? Does that make any sense at all? It's about billions of dollars.
Yeah.
It's a good point that you made about they simply won't report it. They won't report those charts. They simply won't report it. In fact, you know, we had Tom Woods over at our house over the weekend because we had the conference. We were talking about life in Florida. He lives in Florida. And he says, it's almost normal. He says, there's still some people wearing masks. He says, you wouldn't believe how nice it is to go out to a restaurant. Everyone is eating normal, visiting with people. And I think that's one of the reasons why they're trying to keep people apart, because we learned from Tom what it's actually like to live in a relatively free state. They don't want that getting around. But what they do want to do is they want to peddle fear and hysteria. And I had a quote. This is really funny. Andy Slavitt, he was the chair or the person in charge of Obamacare under Obama. He tweeted out a bunch of tweets yesterday, and here's one of them. Then there's the matter of college kids. We have one. I love him, so I mean this with no disrespect. Stay away from them. Keep them away from the people you love. Shun them if they come home for Thanksgiving. Have them sleep in the garage. Have their masks wear masks. Now, since he tweeted this, he removed it and said, oh, it was a big joke. But it was a huge, long tweet storm about why we have to crack down. I think what happened is the backlash was so strong, with him telling people to shun their children, that he had to remove it. Let's look at the next one. Here's Dr. Fauci, and here's what you referenced earlier. All of a sudden, he's saying, oh, no, coronavirus won't be a pandemic for much longer. Vaccine's coming. It's gonna end. And I think this is Fauci actually shifting to another horse. He had a rough ride on the Trump horse, and now he's shifting to the Biden horse because I think he understands, I hope this doesn't sound conspiratorial, Dr. Paul, but he understands that Biden cannot preside over an economic collapse and that lockdowns will bring an economic collapse. What I foresee happening is a hard lockdown for a few weeks and then a miracle announcement that it worked this time, and then Biden will preside over.
By that time, he's sworn in.
He's
sworn in. You know, there was an article, entertaining article, because it came from Scott Adams of Dilbert's fame, and it was positive in the sense that this is going to be resolved, and he was obviously a Trump supporter, and he was mentioning how this would work, and he actually used the scenario that I have mentioned. He says, It's going to, ABC is going to happen. It's going to be a tie vote, and they can't decide on them. It's going to go to the U.S. Congress, and each state's going to have one vote, and they're going to elect Trump. But I think that might, for the diehards that will not give up, will remain hopeful. But it's hard, not so much that we want to concede anything to people that we suspect that they may be participating in fraud, but there's not much else to cling to, because the odds of all of a sudden now Trump being able to conquer at this last minute the deep state, because he's been a little lackadaisical. He hasn't addressed the deep state in a consistent fashion. Sometimes he does. Sometimes he wants to maintain good rapport on foreign policy. So even though I think it's still a possibility, and Scott was writing about that, I think really, I guess if I was a betting person, I wouldn't put a whole lot of money on that. But what I want to find out is more about what's going on. What about those votes? You know, this is astounding that, of course, Giuliani was quoting him, but I've heard numbers all along. How many people could not vote in Pennsylvania because of changing in the rules in the middle of the night and finding ballots to substitute? 650,000 votes. What if the Supreme Court threw them out? But I keep thinking, yeah, that's true. They might even find out, and 90% chance it was fraudulent. But I think courts, Supreme Courts, if it's too disrupting, I think, you know, they reflect, well, we have to maintain order. I think that's what happened on the medical savings account, medical care, Obama's medical care. Yeah. You know, they ruled the wrong way on that because, well, too many people become dependent on it. It's too disruptive. It had nothing to do with the issue in promoting it, but there's going to be some cases. There's no doubt about it. It's going to go to the Supreme Court. And if anything else, it should be very interesting to see how they vote.
It's interesting that Justice Alito ordered Pennsylvania to separate those 650,000 votes, approximately, that were received after the 8 o'clock deadline in contradiction to state law in Pennsylvania, to separate those out. The question will be, will they count and how? So there's certainly much to be resolved. Not that you would learn that from the mainstream media. And speaking of the mainstream media, going back to something you referenced earlier, Dr. Paul, and the hysteria and fear that they peddle. Here's from the Drudge Report, as you say, that used to be reliable. Now, of course, its ratings have tanked. Here's Drudge: virus out of control, casual life fuel surge, still no peak. Can anything stop it? Sounds horrible. So I went ahead and I looked to a reliable source that doesn't really have any axe to grind, and that's the Texas Medical Center. And they reflect, I think, a pretty good reflection of what's important, which is hospitalizations. Let's look at this next chart. Remember, fuel out of control. Look at the 7-day trend of test positivity in Houston. Look, it's going down. That's the red line. The 7-day trend of tests performed is about even. They're not testing much less, but the positivity is going way down. Let's look at the next one. Let's look at hospitalizations. Look at the bottom line. You see hospitalizations. You see the Sun Belt wave that happened in July and August. In Texas, And then you see a slight uptick as seasonal colds, which some of us do have come back, and they don't really count the flu anymore. Doesn't matter. So here you have a slight. This does not look to me like it fits with Drudge Report's reporting. But I think, Dr. Paul, it's all about getting people to get that jab in the arm, get that vaccine. In fact, it's your passport. If you want to have fun again, let's put up the next clip. Dr. Paul, I know you want to talk about this. Do you want to have fun again, or do you want to stay home forever? Well, get your jab. Let's look at this next clip. Ticketmaster reportedly planning mandatory COVID-19 vaccine and testing policy for concert attendance. There you have it, Dr. Paul. You want to see a concert? Get your jab.
Well, fortunately, I'm not worried about the concert. But I know other people will, and I worry about the right to go to the conference. And that is tragic. And an internal passport. Where are your papers? Oh, we don't have to have a paper. We just need to wave a wand on your arm, and because we have all the information that we need, just that we implanted there with your immunization. So it really is a tragedy. You know, this will, you know, once they have the New York people being totally successful, they'll have all these students already inoculated. Yeah. And this is item, it came out a little while ago, but I want to reemphasize it. And that is what the mayor has just decided to do. And he says he's preparing to close the schools despite the strikingly new COVID cases.
Strikingly few.
Yeah, it's gone way down in that, which as you pointed out, but they're still going to go ahead and do it.
Close it down.
So they say, yeah, it's bad, but what we really do and have to do, and then because it's down, next week they'll take credit, you know, something like that, as soon as we have the next lockdown. But I was glad that the J.P. Morgan did point out, which I've tried to talk about a whole lot, is the combination of the insanity of the lockdown, how it bothers the country economically. And once again, J.P. Morgan was making the point, but, you know, more people will be out of work, will be out of work a lot longer. And it's, the economy is a lot worse than it did, because a lot of people have gotten ready cash.
Yeah.
But they will eventually have to quit that, and this is what J.P. Morgan's warning about. There is a cost, and I would think that other statistics that will show it, productivity will go down too, and eventually what happens under these conditions is that you're going to see price inflation, which they're in denial even today. Prices aren't going up, CPI is okay, but, you know, why don't you go talk to the people who have to go to the store?
Yeah, yeah.
Or shop online, you know.
Well, you know, if Ticketmaster requires you to prove you've had the vaccine, that's going to start, you know, because states sort of copied each other on lockdowns, that's going to start other things. I could imagine, I hate to even say it, but if you want to hold a conference, everyone's got to get that test, make sure you have your vaccine. I think it's going to go badly. But here's something that's even more insidious, and because we can live without conferences or concerts, but we can't live without other things. And this is Whitney Webb, who I think is a very astute journalist. She tweeted this morning, and it caught my attention. A document co-written by the CIA's NQTEL, Luciana Borio, recently appointed to Biden's COVID-19 task force, recommends linking COVID-19 vaccination with food security and rent assistance. Want to not be homeless or feed your family? Guess you'll have to get an experimental vaccine. And she does show the link to it, so I went ahead and read the report. Not that I don't trust Whitney, she's a great reporter, but here is the report. Let's look at it next. This is from Johns Hopkins University, the public's role in COVID-19. This came out in July. I think we actually talked about this in July. It was the second in charge of NQTEL, which was formed by the CIA, was key to this. Let's look at the next one. I'm not going to read this. Here's in a scientific way what Whitney was reporting, which is that the WIC nutrition plan and free clinic services, a good way to make sure people get the vaccine is to tie these to getting a COVID vaccine. So that's what they're going to do. You can see it right here from the report itself. It's going to get ugly.
This is a tradition. We've talked about it before, is that in the authoritarian countries that depend on the government for food, and living quarters, they just say, do what we tell you or we take it away from you. You lose your job, you lose your food stamps, and you lose your rent benefits. And they don't have to send the policeman in with a gun. You know, yeah. They just deny you from that. And that's why dependency is so bad. The American people haven't figured that out yet, because right now the dependency and demands are very heavy. Just remember, in the midst of this election and pandemic and all these things going on, the stock market is down. There was no hesitation until right before the election, because it became more political. But that was after they had already appropriated $3 trillion. The money is there, and they will do it. Even if Biden gets in, the budget will get passed one way or the other. And, of course, if for some reason it's stalled for very long, no sweat. The system can be bailed out, because the person, the group, the organization that prints the money, creates the money in itself, which is the Federal Reserve, they can do that to the tune of trillions of dollars with a computer switch.
Yeah.
So it's a real tragedy of how dependent we have become. And yet the element that nobody even talks about is, how does it affect personal liberty? And everything that we talk about, I see as an intrusion on personal liberty, you know, on how these court cases are handled and how we've been handling lockdown and how you go to football games and whether or not you can watch baseball games. It's really tragic. But we have to keep reminding ourselves, if we can help and participate in stirring up the interest of the people and encourage them to be willing to take and stand their ground, like the governor of Florida did, I mean, this thing can melt just as fast as it built up. I mean, we need a couple more states. That's why that chart that you did is so important, to show that where are the people dying, you know, and then they go out and you can find all kinds of headlines. These are just horrible headlines. More deaths and more cases and everybody's suffering. So it's a sad situation.
It is. Well, I'm going to move toward the end if that's where we're at. I just had to go back to the elections. You were talking about elections. This next tweet we're going to put up is from the Arizona Secretary of State. This is the woman whose job it is to guarantee the fairness of elections in Arizona, where we know there's a razor-thin margin for Biden. Katie Hobbs, let's look at what she had to say a couple of years ago, if we can put that tweet up. Donald Trump has made it abundantly clear he's more interested in pandering to his neo-Nazi base than being president for all us Americans. Does that give you confidence that this is a woman who will fairly adjudicate the election in Arizona? And this is the case all over the country in these states. My final thing, Dr. Paul, this guy is, I mean, this guy makes George Soros and Bill Gates look like saints. Let's look up, we talked about him yesterday. And every time I look at something he does, I can't believe it. Klaus Schwab, the Global Economic Forum, World Economic Forum. Listen to what he said about the restrictions, COVID. He said, due to mandatory social restrictions, single people are finding it more difficult than ever to meet each other, as the global population is currently not sustainable and birth rates need to fall. This can be viewed as a very positive outcome of the COVID-19 pandemic. He likes this. People aren't getting together. They're forced to stay alone. He thinks it's absolutely neat. Of course, when you have the kind of money he has, he doesn't have to suffer like people suffer.
This is one time we should ask people to be less tolerant. You know, tolerance is a good feature, but that doesn't mean you have to be blinded and tolerant of the evil of the government that lorded over us, and that's what's happening. You know, we talk a lot right now over the weeks about the election, about the lockdown and the money being spent, and that's all very, very important. And it almost suggests that if we just had better poll watchers, this would all go away, and the problem would just be the individual, this one individual. If we just didn't have Fauci, it would be all right. You see, I think we deal with that, and we talk about it all the time and try to point out get the people not to accept those individuals blindly. But really, that isn't the source of the problem. The source of the problem comes from our university, the university professors. It's been going on for over 100 years, and it's the philosophy that they spew out, and it's the ideas in economic policy, teaching and people conditioning that if you don't accept the foreign policy, you're un-American and you're a traitor, and you're because you don't go along with the warmongers. And this is very bipartisan. Keynesianism is bipartisan. Attack on civil liberties, that's one main thing that we talk about here. But nobody said, well, we have the wrong guy in there. You didn't count the votes right. And they're not looking at it. Well, your liberties are being violated. And what we need to do is get people enthusiastic. I have a right to go to a football game if we're not hurting people. And it's the emphasis on the personal liberty, because if that happens, if we once again had an understanding that people have their right to their life and their right to and responsibility to take care of their own needs, all of a sudden these problems go away. They just go away. It doesn't mean that viruses won't go away. We've had influenza for a while. Does it mean that if you take this position that we need a lot less government, there will never be a vaccine that might be necessary? No, vaccines can be developed by private industries. It doesn't have to have government funding, which then encourages many, many people to rip off the taxpayers, and you have hundreds of people trying to fix a vaccine and get in on the deal. So to me, the most important thing is people to understand what it means to be free and responsible for oneself and responsible for one's family, and to express those liberties. Then we get away from this. But this isn't diminutive. I mean, this doesn't disappear. We still have to deal with the Fauci's of the world, but we have to do it in context of the whole idea that liberty is the most important thing. And this is what the founders emphasized. That was the whole point of the revolution, and that was the point of the Declaration of Independence. And if you read the Constitution has written to put thou shalt nots in there for the government to stay out. Where does it say in the Constitution that they should have lockdowns for colds and all this nonsense and all the bailouts and the special interests and tolerating the deep state, tolerating a monetary policy? It is there. And so I think you have to go back to the whole thing. First, we all have to be responsible for ourselves to understand the issue so that we can defend our position and help others to defend their position too. But it's something that has to be done, because it's not going to automatically change by replacing Fauci with another doctor. Matter of fact, they've already had a new one sitting in line there, and they still went to the same schools. And one thing I noticed in the U.S. Congress, because I was interested in at least talking with people that were in the Congress, and it wasn't a personal thing. It was usually the fact that they all believed this from an economic viewpoint, and they all got their education from a government school practically. And so as long as you have the government schools that we send our kids to, and we pay to send them to colleges, and then when it doesn't work, what we do is we destroy what's left to it. So I think it's important that you separate the two. The particular issue that we're dealing with as a consequence of the loss of liberty, the importance of setting a standard and an understanding so we work hard to protect liberty for each and every American. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.